Biblical School of Michigan.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's a Monday morning. It's August 19th, 2013. Good to be with you. Good to be back home in Metro Detroit after a wonderful weekend down in Birmingham for the EWTN Family Celebration. What a blast. It really was just such an encouraging weekend. So many people from across the country and around the world came to the EWTN Family Celebration. We actually met a whole beautiful family from Nigeria, and I can't wait to email Uju and tell her about them because they were just delightful, and they came up and they said they love EWTN, and it was a vacation for them, and they were so excited to be there. There were people from Mexico. There were people from, as I said, Nigeria, the Philippines, and some other nations from around God's good green earth that came to Birmingham, Alabama for the family celebration. What I'm going to talk about in detail in 2 cents is the program that aired on the radio Saturday night and will be broadcast on TV, EWTN television, this Saturday. I really, really hope you take the time out of your Saturday. Maybe you can DVR it or whatever if you don't have the time to sit down on Saturday night and watch this show. It was hosted by our dear sister Jeanette Bankovic from Women of Grace, and it was a special Women of EWTM program. And it was featuring myself, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, Janet Morana, Joan Lewis, Joanna Bogle, Joy Pinto, and others. And it was just a riveting show. We were in the first segment, Joan Lewis, myself, and Joanna Bogle. Joanna Bogle being from Great Britain, and she hosts a show on EWTN, exactly a cooking show, but she is very involved in religious liberty issues in England, and she's very outspoken about women's issues as well. She's just very knowledgeable and absolutely delightful with that wonderful English accent, that British accent, which is just so charming. But I really hope you'll tune in. I was talking about this on Brian Patrick's show this morning, because everybody, we had a standing ovation at the end of the show with the audience at the conference center, and the people came up to us and said it was so refreshing. Because normally what do we see when we turn on the television? Actually, we're going to be discussing this a little bit with Matt Philbin at 9:39 from the Culture and Media Institute. He's going to be taking a look at a new report, surprise, surprise, showing the media gave such great coverage to all the liberal nuns who speak out against church teaching. You know, the angry women who want priests, want to be a priest, and all that kind of stuff. That's what you normally see. That is the face, unfortunately, of the Catholic woman that you see in the media. And if it's not that face, the face of the angry, I'm being mistreated, the church is oppressing me, I want to be a priest, blah, 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 you see the Nancy Pelosi Catholic. The Catholic woman who seems to be so, alleged Catholic woman who seems to be so sophisticated with the St. John suits and everything else, but, you know, does everything in her power or position to fight the core teachings of the church. So those are the two extremes and extremes you see in the media when it comes to, quote-unquote, Catholic women. And yet this section of this programming that we had this week in EWTN was all about the women who have embraced their faith, who are either reverts, converts, and some of the women who never lost their faith, God bless them, but have remained strong. And in their own areas of ministry, nobody was complaining. Nobody was blaming the church for this, that, or the other thing. Not that we don't have issues. But they were talking about how women, how this genius of women, a phrase that was, of course, coined by John Paul II, is so important in evangelization and in today's world. And then we had the Q&A section, and we had several men that were asking us questions, which was awesome. So it was such a positive, uplifting event to sit there and listen to these brilliant, to be part of the show, first of all, but to sit there to listen to these brilliant women and the difference they are making, each in their area of expertise. And there was a special bond this weekend with these ladies, and I was talking to Brian Patrick about it again this morning, and I don't know, there was something that happened there. And so we're trying to pray and think about how we can take all of us and do something with this, because the energy and the synergy You know, I mean, the difficulty, and Janet did a great job because there were so many of us on the program and they divided it into sections. So the first portion, as I said, was the news section with us talking about the issues that are facing women in the world. And then Janet and Joy came on talking about the fallout of what's happening in the world in terms of abortion and contraception, how that affects women. So they were broken up into very interesting individual segments. But it's a lot to handle in 90 minutes. And it was just, it flowed so smoothly. And the response was just overwhelming. So I really hope you take time to tune in on Saturday, or as I said, DVR it. And if you can't do that, to order the DVD for this weekend's family celebration through EWTN, because it was just great. It was a lot of fun. And it's interesting because even though this was an international event, so many people came up to me and talked about Ave Maria Radio, specifically mentioning Ave Maria Radio, which was really cool because many people listen via the app. Many listen via our website. And they just really enjoy all of our programming all day long, most of which we produce, of course, but we also tap into the network. But I thought that was interesting, too, because these are people from all over the place. I had women coming up to me from, Northwest Canada, who said they can't live without their Ave Maria radio. Another guy came up to me and said, I listen to you on my phone all the time through the Ave Maria app. So it's just really neat to see and hear how people are finding us and tuning in. And I tell that to you as a source of encouragement, because those of you who support us at Ave Maria Radio are supporting, and I always say this, but it's so crucial for you to understand this. When you're supporting us during the membership drives or however you do, this is something that you're doing to evangelize the world, because we produce a good chunk of the programming for EWTN. And with all the different applications now that we've been able to offer, we are reaching people in so many different ways. So just remember that. And when you sit down to keep us between your gas and electric bill, the impact that your support, especially your prayer support, is having. So we'll talk a little bit more about the issues facing women. And interestingly enough, as I said, the stories that were getting a lot of coverage in the news this past year had to do with the liberal nuns. You didn't see too many Pia De Salenis or Teresa Tamios or Helen Alvarez or Janet Moranis out there in the secular news. So, 877-573-7825. After the break, we're going to take a look at a wonderful retreat that is coming up that makes such a difference in the lives of women and men. We're talking about a Rachel's Vineyard retreat, which is coming up in Oxford, Michigan, at St. Mary's Retreat House, which is really pretty. I've been there before for retreats. It's very, very nice. So we'll talk about the ministry. And we will talk about how you can get involved. Maybe you're post-abortive and you've been through healing, which is very important. Obviously, you can't get involved in something like this if you had the hearing, unless you've had the healing yourself. So we'll talk about the process that one goes through. And now, these retreats, by the way, are open for men, for women, for grandparents. Even if you haven't had an abortion, there are women who go through Rachel's Vineyard retreats who contracepted for many years and may have been using abortifacients. So it really is opening the doors to many people who are grieving the loss that's associated with our over-sexualized culture, abortion, contraception, and the like. So Shelley will be talking to us, and she prefers that her last name not be used, so that's fine. But she's joining us to discuss the retreat, and she's a key team member. So we'll talk about that with Shelley, and that's coming up after the break, after 2 cents. Very excited to have another great woman of God on with us, Patty Armstrong. She's a wonderful writer and speaker. Just saw Patty at the Catholic Marketing Network. She has two new books out, which are a lot of fun, Big-Hearted, Inspiring Stories from Everyday Families. And then another book series that she's doing is called Dear God, the first of a three-part series. So Patty will chat with us about those books, and we'll give you the resources in terms of the links, how you can get them. Matt Philbin, as I mentioned, who is the managing editor of the Culture and Media Institute, joining us. The Culture and Media Institute releasing a report. According to their findings, when covering the church in the past year, the three major networks, I'm shocked and appalled, shut the front door, had a 5-to-1 rate of liberal nun to traditional conservative nun interviews. No way. 84% of their coverage involved the nuns who are not true to church teaching. So we'll take a look at that. And then we wrap up a Monday morning, as we always do. Gail Buckley joining us. taking a look at one of the very interesting and challenging verses in the gospel this weekend. Luke chapter 12, verse 49, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. Pope Francis talked about that as well in the Angelus yesterday. Well, good news, summer is back. Yay! That's right, they're saying all week long in the 80s, could get up to 87 by the end of the week. Sunny for most of the week as well. Could get, by the time Thursday or Friday rolls around, might get a thunderstorm or two, maybe some rain here and there. But overall, as I said, summer is back, so if you get a chance, get out there and enjoy it. I know I am going to try to. It's 8:10. It's a Monday morning. You're listening to the Ave Maria Radio Network, AveMariaRadio.net. Check out our new and improved website. Great stuff on there. When we come back at 2 after the news, I also want to talk about the Women's Conference coming up in Lansing. I really want to start pushing that. They had over 1,000 people there last year. It was a sellout, so we're hoping for the same thing this year. I'll be one of the keynote speakers. I hope you can join us. So we'll talk about that in the midst of our conversation about women in the church. And if you'd like to join in, again, feel free, 877-573-7825. 8:11, it's a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection, TT on CC, on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Let's take a look at our news and see what's happening in and around our world. August 19, 2013. Pope Francis joining proponents of religious liberty and voicing grief at the painful news of hundreds of numerous attacks on Christian churches in the recent wave of violence in Egypt. He says, I wish to ensure my prayers for all the victims and their families, the injured and those who are suffering. The Pope said this before the Angelus yesterday. He said, let's pray together for peace, dialogue, and reconciliation in that dear nation and throughout the world. By the way, on August 14th, Egyptian security forces breaking up the camps of protesters that are aligning with the Muslim Brotherhood. The protesters were demanding the restoration of power to power of President Mohamed Morsi, who was ousted by the military last month. Over 200 protesters were killed, as were several dozen policemen. The Holy Father, meanwhile, also highlighting a verse in Sunday's Gospel, which he said needed to be explained so as not to lead to confusion or misunderstanding. The Pope, referring to the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. That's Luke 12:51. But what does that mean? The Pope asked. He explained that it means faith is not something decorative or to be used as an ornament. It's not there to decorate your life with a little religion. Faith, the Pope said, involves choosing God as the center of one's life, adding that God is not empty. He is not neutral. God is love. Jesus, the Pope continued, does not want to divide people from each other. On the contrary, Jesus is our peace. But he lays down the criteria, live for oneself or live for God. The word of the gospel, the Pope added, does not authorize a use of force to spread the faith. It is just the opposite. The true strength of the Christian is the power of truth and love, which actually leads to the renunciation of all violence. He said faith and violence are incompatible. Meanwhile, senior officials from all 28 European Union member states are expected to meet today to talk about the ongoing crisis in Egypt. Their meeting comes on the heels of days of bloodshed that have left more than 800 people dead now and thousands more hurt. And lawmakers are divided over whether the U.S. should suspend aid to Egypt as a protest and the violence gripped in the North African nation. Tennessee Republican Senator Bob Corker telling ABC's This Week he expects the increasing violence in that country to result in suspension of aid.
We need to look at the tiers of our aid. Let's face it, most of the aid has already gone out the door this year. So what we're really talking about is a debate that will take place this fall as we look forward to next year.
On the same program, Democratic New York Representative Elliot Ingalls said it's too soon to cut off the aid. Protests have turned to violence across the country as the military cracks down on demonstrators calling for the return of ousted President Mohamed Morsi. The violence that has killed close to 1,000 people across Egypt has destroyed part of the country's rich history as well. Looters late last week ransacked the Antiquities Museum in Malawi, about 155 miles south of Cairo, stealing more than 1,000 artifacts, nearly wiping out the collection of items recovered from archaeological sites. The Ministry of State Antiquities says looters appear to have damaged ancient statues that were too large or too heavy to carry off. One museum worker was actually killed when looters broke into the museum late last week. Only 15% of Americans say that having an abortion is morally acceptable, while almost half say it's morally wrong. That's according to a new survey by the Pew Research Center. The remainder, 23%, believe that abortion is not a moral issue. Hispanic Catholics are more likely than white Catholics to recognize the immorality of abortion. About 64% of Hispanic Catholics said the procedure is wrong, compared to only 53% of white Catholics. About 75% of white evangelical Protestants said abortion is morally wrong. Only 25% of the religiously unaffiliated did. Well, Representative Chris Van Hollen says the NSA is too, quote-unquote, willy-nilly about collecting America's telephone email data.
There's a distinction to be made between the collection of raw data, right? NSA having exactly what the phone companies have, and what's the test, what's the standard for the NSA being able to search or query that data.
The Maryland Democrat telling CNN State of the Union it's time to subject the National Security Agency to more intense scrutiny. Van Hollen said the key to protecting the privacy of Americans is reforming the underlying Patriot Act. That measure was passed in the wake of the September 11 terrorist attacks and allowed security agencies to gather intelligence with far less restriction and oversight. A wind-whipped wildfire continuing to gain ground in the state of Idaho.
The fire spreads very quickly. It moves very fast. It's been very dangerous for firefighters on the ground. So we've been having to use aircraft a lot. We've been having to build a lot of fire line way ahead of the fire.
Rudy Evanson with the fire incident team says a lack of rain has left trees crispy dry, allowing flames from the Beaver Creek fire to easily spread. The towns of Haley and Ketchum are at risk. Firefighters say the wildfire has burned over 100,000 acres, one house and at least six other structures have been destroyed. Meanwhile, it's an uphill battle to reload Arizona's hot shots. Those are firefighters in that state that made national news recently. Reporter George Lynn has more on that story.
The 20-member crew, as we know it, may be done for good. Word is if a new group is somehow put together, it may be uninsurable due to significant cost.
A very highly trained, specialized crew is by no means an inexpensive endeavor to put together.
Michael Kotas is an author, photojournalist, and former firefighter who covers wildland blazes like the Yarnell Hill Fire. He says this tragedy shows the need for another crew is strong, but
the risk to the hotshots is something that they're definitely going to consider when they think of reconstituting this team.
It could take up to 2 years or possibly longer to reassemble a highly skilled crew like the Granite Mountain Hotshots. I'm George Lynn.
Some witnesses who saw a tour bus crash near Desert Inn and Maryland Parkway in Las Vegas say the driver tried to leave the scene.
Knock those cars around like toys. The bus was going so fast, it hit the back of that car, smashing that one in, causing the other car to hit another vehicle.
That's Prentice Williams, who saw yesterday's chain reaction. A dozen people sent to the hospital. Officials say the driver admitted to smoking spice. It's a form of synthetic marijuana earlier in the day. Police are investigating how spice, speed, and rain may have impacted that crash. And finally, in our news segment at 8:18 on a Monday morning, August 19, 2013, more than two-thirds of Americans are either overweight or obese. Michelle Larkin with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation says obesity rates have more than doubled over the last 30 years.
For us, it's been, it was astonishing to see how fast the obesity epidemic had grown.
A study by the foundation shows Louisiana and Mississippi are tied for the title of the heaviest states. Almost 70% of their residents tip the scales above a healthy weight, and nearly 35% of those classified as obese. Even the state of Massachusetts, the lightest state in the union, had an obesity rate of almost 23%. 30 years ago, no state had an obesity rate above 15%. 8:19, it's a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening, of course, to the Ave Maria Radio Network. Also, hello to our friends in the northern parts of the states in the lower UP. I'm Berga Broadcasting. Hello to our friends at Holy Family Radio in Grand Rapids, Annunciation Radio in northwestern Ohio, and our sister station, WMAX, Saginaw Bay City, Midland. Also, those listening online or by use of other technology, we're glad you're here. Our phone number, 877-573-7825. Up next, I'm a woman, don't speak for me. Real Catholic women speaking out. Stay tuned.
Join us in supporting the young men who choose to answer the Lord's call. Play in the Bishop's Golf Classic for Seminary and Education on Wednesday, August 28th at Hawk Hollow and Eagle Eye Golf Courses. Join fellow Catholics from throughout the Lansing Diocese for a day of fun. We are blessed to have so many young men who are studying to become priests. Call 517-342-2503. Even if you don't golf, contributions are welcome. That's August 28th, 517-342-2503.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Don't miss the St. Cyril and Methodius Slow Vox Festival, August 24th and 25th at the church in Sterling Heights. The weekend includes inflatable games for the kids, bingo, a raffle, and of course, delicious Slovakian food. Parking and admission are free. For more details, call 586-726-6911. If you'd like to publicize your upcoming event on the community calendar, you can enter it yourself at AveMariaRadio.net. Click on Community and then Community Calendar and then fill out the fields for your event. Your event will appear on the internet calendar within a couple days. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Is Islam a religion of peace? That is a question that is often asked but seldom answered directly for fear of appearing intolerant and thus running afoul of the political correctness police. But what does the evidence reveal? My colleague and fellow co-founder of the American Freedom Law Center, David Urashami, co-authored a study that was published in Perspectives on Terrorism, a leading international peer-reviewed journal specializing in the empirical study of terrorism. The published study found that 80% of U.S. mosques provide their worshippers with jihad-style literature promoting the use of violence against non-believers, and that the imams in those mosques expressly promote that literature. Indeed, I have personally represented Christians in several civil rights lawsuits where their right to freedom of speech here in the United States was suppressed because government officials were acting in response to threats of violence by Muslim protesters or actual violence by Muslims who objected to the Christians' message because it was offensive to Islam. In the final analysis, we can believe the propaganda of Muslim Brotherhood front groups like CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, or we can believe what we witness with our own eyes. 9/11, Fort Hood, and more recently, the Boston bombing were not acts of peace. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom at www.AmericanFreedomLawCenter.org.
I am a woman, don't speak for me. I'm a child in the womb, a man and a wife, young the elderly. I love my country, and I am free. Don't take away my right to life and religious liberty. Let freedom sing. Let freedom.
Of our friend, singer and songwriter Annie Carto, who wrote that song in honor of the first Fortnight for Freedom that was organized, of course, by Catholics and other Christians around the country, with the emphasis coming from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And she actually introduced that song last year, and we had a chance to have her on the air about that song. And I really think it speaks beautifully and addresses some of the issues that we addressed on Saturday night where we actually had a live program, which was broadcast live on radio, will be re-aired on both radio and TV this Saturday on EWTN. For more information, you can go to EWTN.com. Hosted by our friend Jeanette Bankovic and featuring many of the women of EWTN, including myself, Janet Miranda from Priest Your Life in Salt and Amore, and of course, The Catholic View for Women, Donna Marie Cooperl Boyle, Joy Pinto, Joan Lewis, of course, with Joan's Rome, and Joanna Bogle. And it was a very different program, not something, unfortunately, that you'll see in the secular press. As we were talking afterwards, as we all shared a glass of wine or two later, talking about the show and talking about our concerns and our love of the faith and our friendships and where we go from here, and continuing this very powerful message that came out on Saturday night, is normally, for example, as we're going to talk with Matt Philbin about later in the program, normally the women or alleged Catholic women you see on television, in the news, in the newspaper quoted, are the angry women who still call themselves Catholic but refuse to submit totally to God and instead insist on the church must do this, that, the other thing for me. I want this. I want that. I want contraception. I want abortion. I want to be a priest. No ifs, ands, buts about it, and it's about time the Holy Father and all those men in funny hats in Rome just put their stamp of approval on it, and we can be on with it, done with it, and move on. And many of the women who are featured, if they are Orthodox Catholics, are featured negatively. And they seem to go, if they do, again, interview those who maintain their Catholic faith. They try to give the impression that those people are not intelligent, they're dowdy, they're frumpy, they're chained to their kitchen sinks, and that's why they have these views that are right of center. As opposed to a woman that you would have seen on Saturday night if you were watching, happy, involved, working in the home, working out of the home, maybe in some cases both, but really joyful and in love with the Lord and in love with the church. Not that we're living in la-la land, and aren't aware of what's going on in terms of some of the problems that need to be addressed, but who really have decided, you know what, that God knows better, and to take a closer look at the transforming power of God's love and what that really means. And it was such a refreshing show. We laughed, we cried, again, standing ovation at the end of the show. And so many women and men coming up to us afterwards saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And John had asked me off the top of the show what were some of the issues that were, you know, how did I see things in terms of what the world, how the world, you know, was viewing women, how women in general, not just Catholic women, had to be. And I said, well, there's two camps. You're either an angry woman who denies her femininity, which is where we get this push, nonstop push for contraception and abortion, and, you know, still pushing for the female priesthood, which is not going to happen, which the door has been closed, as Pope Francis said on his way back from Rio last month. You know, so these women are angry, and they are just behaving like men behaving badly. And then on the other extreme, you have women that think that they have to dress very immodestly, to the point of, God help them, looking like prostitutes and acting like prostitutes in many ways, and succumbing to abuse in the bedroom, such as in books like 50 Shades of Grey. They have to be a sex object in order to get ahead, or in order to be loved, or in order to be, you know, even paid attention to. So you have this two camps of extremities, and there's no balance. You know, I said to the audience on Saturday night, I said, this is great that we're talking about this. I only wish, in addition to EWTN, even though we have worldwide viewership, I only wish that women like us could be viewed in other media besides Catholic media. Now, we are getting out there. Helen Alvary, myself, Dr. Pia De Sleni are, not regularly, but I'd say every once in a while, interviewed by the secular press. But there needs to be a regular representation of women who love their faith, who are happy, who are living fulfilled, joyful Christian lives. And that was the message that came out on Saturday. What the woman can do. Why is a woman different? What does God see in us? And why did Jesus have such a strong relationship with women? And why was it, as Dr. Pia De Sleni explained so beautiful last week when she was on with me, that Jesus decided to reveal himself as God first to the woman at the well? in those words that he says to her, I am he, after she's talking about, we know the Messiah is coming, blah, 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 and he says to her, I am he. Can you imagine that? This beautiful theology of women, this genius of women, feminine genius, as John Paul II said. And yet we don't get that in the secular world in terms of when women are featured, Catholic women in particular. So that's why I hope you'll tune in, first of all, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, EWTN television, for the special edition of the Catholic Women of EWTN, hosted by Jeanette Bankovic of Women of Grace. And it's part of the EWTN family celebration, which took place this weekend in Birmingham, Alabama. In addition, and I would say just as if not more importantly, I hope that you will go to Lansing Diocese, CWC.org, for the Lansing Diocese Catholic Women's Conference, which is coming up on October 26th of this year. And it will be at the Best Western Hotel and Conference Center. The theme is Transforming Love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3:17. This is similar, actually, to the theme of the recent Florida Women's Conference, which took place in Jacksonville, where they were talking about the courage to love, the courage to allow yourself to be transformed by Christ and the Church. Here's a mission of the Lansing Diocese Women's Conference, which is really quite beautiful. The mission for the Women's Conference, to open our hearts, to enlarge them and expand them to receive more of God's love, then receiving, experiencing, and knowing God's love, and allowing that love to transform our hearts into the image and likeness of the heart of Christ. We can then bring this same transforming love to others in our homes, families, churches, workplaces, and communities. Now, what does that transforming love do? It transforms us, and then it transforms the world. Because once you really accept Jesus, as Pope Francis is talking about in the Angelus this weekend, it can't help but affect other people because you are putting other people first. Courage to love, or courage to find real joy, was a topic of my talk at the Catholic Women's Conference in Jacksonville. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. It's a sacrificial love. But by putting yourself out there in a sacrificial way, you get so much in return. And this is what the world doesn't understand. And this is why people are seeing a different type of quote-unquote Catholic woman out there. Because the world sees it as, no, 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 it's me, myself, and I. And I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. And that results in nothing but destruction. And eventually, destruction of self. And we're going to address that in the next segment when we talk about the issue of post-abortive healing. And that's one of the fallouts, unfortunately, of a selfish culture. It's all about me. So I do hope that you will watch the program. And I do hope that, ladies, if you're listening, or guys, if you're listening, maybe you can buy this as an anniversary gift or a birthday gift or an early Christmas gift for your wife. Maybe buy her more than one ticket so she can take a friend or her daughter or niece. And they're doing a ladies' night out the night before, which is nice. So, again, all the information is on the website at the Lansing Diocese, CWC.org. That's for Catholic Women's Conference, Lansing Diocese, CWC.org. Myself and Father James Kubicki will be the keynote speakers. You know him from EWTN. He was born and raised in Milwaukee, entered the Jesuits in 1971, was ordained in 1983. In 2003, became the National Director of the Apostleship of Prayer, traveling around the country, giving retreats and parish missions. He's appeared on EWTN and is a regular contributor to Catholic radio stations around the country, including this one. His book, A Heart on Fire, Rediscovering Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is published by Ave Maria Press last year. He was actually on the show not too long ago talking about that book. And then I'll be speaking as well. I'll be the other keynote speaker. Very, very excited. So again, this is another opportunity really to see what a true Catholic woman looks like. Someone who is transformed by God's love and isn't trying to change the church or anybody else, but is trying to change herself into a better Christian woman. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3:17. Don't let the Nancy Pelosi's and the Kathleen Sebelius's speak for you and for me, or the angry nuns who want the church to change as opposed to, for whatever reason, and we pray for them, refusing to change themselves. They don't speak for us. We need to speak for ourselves after we too have been transformed and have the courage to love. It's 8:35.
Let freedom sing. Let freedom sing. Raise your voice. Make the choice to defend our liberty. Let freedom.
America's most effective Catholic apologists are urging us to read Al Cresta's Dangers to the Faith, Catholicism's 21st Century Opponents. Patrick Madrid says,
Dangers to the Faith is a serious, substantive, significant work of cultural apologetics.
Steve Ray says,
Cresta exposes Catholicism's enemies and gives us a clear plan of action. Study it as a torch to light the way into a new century.
Carl Keating added,
Dangers to the Faith points toward the one thing that will bring real fulfillment to everyone who seeks it. The Catholic faith.
Jimmy Akin.
Al Cresta is one of the most insightful and intelligent commentators on the Catholic scene. Dangers to the Faith exposes the sources of confusion and demolishes them one by one.
Patrick Hoffman.
Cresta has a preternatural knack for dissecting headlines and exposing the story behind the story. Dangers to the Faith is a clear look at the big isms that have screwed up the world and tainted the church.
Al Cresta's Danger to the Faith, at your local Catholic bookstore, wherever books are sold, or at AveMariaRadio.net.
Over the years, I've made some bad decisions based on fear, and I've seen many others do the same. Some have described fear as an acronym for false events appearing real. Some psychologists have claimed that many negative emotions and behaviors come from fear, such as anger. Our communication with others is reflective of fear, for what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. With that truth, imagine how difficult it is to hide our fears. Whether they're manifested in anger, hate, depression, manipulation, or lies, people see our fears. But if we just turn to the Lord for guidance, we'll discover that there's no reason to be afraid, because He is with us always. So the next time you find fear filling up your heart, sing that fabulous hymn, you know the one, Be Not Afraid, I Go Before You Always. Come follow me, and I'll give you rest. This has been a Christ-Centered Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communication evangelist.
Siena Communication says, just don't be pro-life, buy pro-life. Here are five reasons to join Siena.
Mention offer code EASY and get free activation and free shipping plus a free cell phone.
Pro-life and pro-family organizations need every dollar possible to carry out their life-saving, life-defending missions. With Siena, 5% of your monthly cell phone plan price goes to your favorite Catholic or pro-life charity.
With Siena, there are no contracts, no termination fees, and you can change your cell phone plan as often as you like.
Nationwide digital networks with talk, text, and data services.
Live, U.S.-based customer care.
Reach Siena Communications at 877-474-3662. That's 877-474-3662. Or at ProLifeCatholic.com. That's 877-474-3662 or ProLifeCatholic.com.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
At times, our faith is challenged by the people around us, be it at work, at school, and even in our homes. And it can feel lonely to stand up and defend our faith. But Scripture shows we are not alone. Noah listened to and followed God's will in a society that had abandoned God. He stood up to the peer pressure of culture and was ultimately saved. Job remained faithful in the midst of tremendous personal loss and challenges from friends. His faithfulness was rewarded. Stephen was persecuted to death, yet he remained strong in faith, and as he was dying at the hands of his fellow Jews, he saw Jesus in heaven. When you feel alone in your faith, remember Noah, Job, Stephen, and other witnesses to the faith. Let us pray that we, too, may keep our faith steady and strong, regardless of the circumstances. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's 8:40. Good to be with you. 877-573-7825. Talking during our Two Cents segment about true women of God and what they look like. And unfortunately, we don't often see them out there in the secular arena. We're going to be discussing this more in depth later on the program in the National Hour with Matt Philburn from the Culture and Media Institute about how the media covered the liberal nuns on the bus and what happened with that and whatnot. We were talking about real women of God and really how they express themselves. And one of the ways they do that is by helping other people. And Shelley knows all about that because she is one of the key team members for Rachel's Vineyards. They've got a retreat coming up. And I want to thank my friend, pro-life activist Mary Lockwood, for letting me know about this. We could give Shelley a call and have her on the program. Hey, Shelley, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good morning, Teresa. Great to talk with you, too.
All right. Give us an idea, first of all, how you got involved in Rachel's Vineyard.
Well, I became involved because I am a post-abortive woman, and I was really seeking help, real help, from a spiritual perspective also. I had gone to therapy with a regular counselor with my insurance company and, you know, had said, I really believe this abortion has affected my life, and they really try to, you know, tone that part down and say it the abortion doesn't really have anything to do with you suffering through depression and anxiety. And so I knew in my heart, it's written in my heart, yes, there's something wrong here. So fortunately, I was able to find out that these retreats exist and that there's other post-abortive healing studies out there, and went through that and just really, really received a miracle in my life. And decided this is something I want to be a part of. It's something that God's calling me to be a part of, and so here I am.
So what does it mean to be a retreat leader? What do you do?
Well, really what we do is God really put us together by divine providence because there were little patches here and there of people that wanted to become part of this ministry, but we really didn't have a team together. And by the grace of God, we connected and met and started praying together as a group, and contacted Dr. Teresa Burke, who is the founder of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries, and we became one of their sanctioned teams. So.
Now, in terms of this actual weekend, if people are interested in it, what do they need to know? Some people may be concerned in terms of that there's too much revealing or that it's too emotional. I mean, because there's a lot of, you know, you've been there. What goes on in someone's mind before they attend one of these retreats?
Well, I do think that there is, you know, there is that concern of, you know, I don't want anybody to know. It's such a secret sin, and you know, it is a terrible sin. It's hard to admit. Sometimes this is the first time people will even come out and tell their story. Maybe no one else in their life knows that this happened. So, but I would like to encourage anyone. This program is open to women, men, couples, grandparents, even former abortion providers, or other family members that have been hurt by abortion. That this is a safe place. It's very confidential. Others will be sharing their story too. You don't feel alone. It's the first time that you can actually, you know, be honest with yourself, be honest with God, and get start getting the help that you need. I can't promise that there won't be any pain going through this retreat, but I can let you know, and I've seen it, that miracles. There's an opportunity for greater healing. You leave knowing there's hope for your future and that the church does welcome you back home. And I think a lot of times, you know I felt like it was the unforgivable sin, and how could God forgive me for this? And so I think it's just, you know, for people that have already gone to confession or, you know, had some kind of healing from their abortion, it's still a good retreat to go on because it goes in depth to make a relationship with your child. But also for those who have never mentioned it, it's good for that too. I can't really explain it. It's kind of like I said, a miracle that happens while you're there, and people that leave leave with that sense of hope, and it's a miracle.
Now, are you seeing more men at these retreats?
We are. I mean, we do have, it is still more women than men, but we do see couples, and it's actually quite powerful when the men are on the retreat because you get to hear the side from their perspective. Because a lot of times we know how the media would like us to believe this is the woman's issue and, you know, the men have nothing to do with this. But then when you do hear their side of the story, it's really powerful and it's really healing. And many of the women that have heard the men's testimonies have thanked them. It's not an uncomfortable situation.
Are you also saying, because I know Janet Miranda mentioned this to me, that she went through a weekend because of using contraception and abortifacients over the years, and she obviously confessed that and turned her life around that area, but she, thinking that there may have been a child that she may have lost because of the type of birth control that she used, that it was very helpful for her to go through a retreat.
Yes, I would say anyone that is feeling any guilt from that or any, you know, any thought that this would be a good retreat to go on to. Yes, anyone who's hurting, suffering, that has regret from, you know, saying no to life.
Do you get a lot of quiet time on your own at these retreats to kind of pray and reflect? And?
Well, I could tell you, I wish I could have more. But we are trying to plan a team retreat with the Detroit team that we have. Our team is relatively new. We had our first retreat in January of this year. We had another one in May, and then this one coming up in September on the 6th through the 8th will be our third retreat. So we are a younger team, and when I mean younger, I just mean we just came together as a team and started retreats this year. So we are trying to plan a retreat for all of us to kind of go as a team to have the more some quiet time as a team and some reflection. Although we do have a spiritual director that's part of our team, and he does, you know, help us out with situations. And when we do get together, we have a lot of prayer. So we try to meet once a month as a team and have some reflection and prayer.
So give us the details for the upcoming retreat. It's at St. Mary's Retreat House, right?
Yes, in Oxford. The date is September 6th through the 8th. There is a cost of $150 to attend, although if you are unable to pay for that, we do have some sponsors that help us to pay for retreat attendees. And having said that, we also appreciate those who would like to help our ministry to help provide some financial support to our ministry, which you know, I know there's a lot of ministries out there. Everyone's looking for financial support. But we ask that if you could, we have a place on our website, which is DetroitRachelsVineyard.org. And you could there's a section on there where we have a P.O. box number where you can make a check payable to Rachel's Vineyard Detroit or an online payment option.
So this is a ministry within, I know that it's within post-abortive movement and whatnot, but it's Catholic. It's within the church, but you don't have to be Catholic to attend this, correct?
That's absolutely right. It is for anyone. It's interdenominational, anyone who's having regrets about their past abortion or abortions. There's actually several people that attend that have had more than one. It's actually quite common. In fact, when you look at the numbers of women that have had abortions, I mean, statistics show that roughly one out of four women, or some even show one out of three women, have had abortions. And with that, there's always a man tied to that statistic, too. So that's a lot of women and men in our parishes, in our neighborhoods, in our cities that, you know, maybe need help, and maybe they don't know that we're even here. And, you know, unless they're listening to Catholic radio or watching EWTN, there's really a lot of people that have no idea that ministries like this exist. So I'm hoping that we can get some more team people in parishes that would be willing to help place an ad in their parish bulletin, or you know, just any way to help us get the word out more, because we there are people out there everywhere hurting, and if there is anyone that has a heart for that, for helping us promote it, they can contact us through our email address, which is on our website. It's info@DetroitRachelsVineyard.org, and we would be happy to send you some information that you could help us to post in your bulletins.
So you have room at the upcoming retreat, though, for in a couple of weekends, right?
Yes. And to do that, there is a phone number that you can call if anyone is led to by the Holy Spirit to attend the retreat. It's 248-494-6363. And that will put you in touch with our licensed counselor, who is part of our team also. I would be considered a peer counselor on the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have the pastoral counselor who is a priest, so that if you are Catholic and you're on the retreat, you can go to sacramental confession. And that phone number goes directly to our counselor. She may not answer right away, but it will be within a 24-hour period that she'll return your call. And then you can also email us at the info@DetroitRachelsVineyard.org, and someone will get back with you, too, with a packet to reserve your spot for the upcoming retreat.
Okay, let's take a quick break. If anyone has a question for Shelley regarding the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat that is coming up the weekend of September 6th through 8th at St. Mary's Retreat House, 877-573-7825. And again, we'll give you the information on how to register one more time, 877-573-7825 on Ave Maria Radio on a Monday morning. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Most psychologists will tell you that having good self-esteem is important, but sometimes people misuse the concept of self-esteem and treat it more like self-aggrandizement. This is especially problematic for the Christian, who knows the importance of avoiding pride, which is one of the deadly sins. But avoiding pride doesn't mean that Christians can't have a positive sense of self. Here's what St. Augustine had to say on the subject. Quote, "If you praise the works of God, then you will also have to praise yourself, for you too are a work of God. But here is how to praise yourself and yet not be proud. Praise not yourself, but God in you. Offer praise, not because you are this or that kind of person, but because God has given you strengths. Not because you are capable of this or that, but because He works in you and through you." End quote. It's true, you are God's gift to the world. Treasure the gift of yourself. But just be sure to remember that when a gift is given, it is the giver and not the gift who is worthy to be praised. I'm Dr. Gregory Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
You've been listening to Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak. To discover more resources for living an abundant life, including books, CDs, and Catholic counseling services, visit us online at exceptionalmarriages.com.
We'll talk to them. Only a few minutes left, talking with Shelley from Rachel's Vineyard. They have a beautiful retreat coming up the weekend of September 6th through 8th. It's at the St. Mary's Retreat House. Go to DetroitRachelsVineyard.org. Mary Lockwood calling in, who is also with Rachel's Vineyard. Hey, Mayor, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Teresa?
Good, good, good. So you wanted to encourage sponsorship, which is a great, great thing to do.
Yes, I would. You know, the last time we were on your show to talk about this retreat, there was a gentleman that called in, and he wanted to sponsor a woman who couldn't normally afford coming to the retreat. And I thought it was a great reach out for a man because, as Shelley said, with every abortion, there's a man involved. And it was his way of sponsoring a woman who otherwise couldn't go. So not that we turn anyone away because of money, but I thought it was a great spiritual reach out for him, and I would just like to encourage other people to do that to help other men and women who are suffering from abortion.
How often do you have these? And Shelley, I'll go back to you. How often are these retreats held during the year?
Well, typically most teams hold retreats two to four times per year. This will be our third one this year, and then we'll probably have one slated for next January. But that shouldn't hold you back, because if you really can't make this weekend coming up, there are currently five Michigan teams. We have a Saginaw team, Traverse City team, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, and Detroit. So through our website, you can also find a national website, which is rachelsvineyard.org. And on there is a list of all of the places throughout the country and really throughout the world, because this is the world's largest ministry for healing after abortion. There's over 190 sites across the United States and 25 countries that hold this, and it's rapidly spreading as the word gets out about it. So it's really a beautiful ministry.
It sure is. Thanks so much to Shelley and also to Mary Lockwood about the upcoming Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, September 6th through 8th, post-abortive healing. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more, and there is no unforgivable sin. God loves you, and he wants you back in the arms of the church. DetroitRachelsVineyard.org, DetroitRachelsVineyard.org. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. We go national and international in 3 minutes.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. In chapter 4 of John's Gospel, Jesus tells a Samaritan woman at the well that he will give her water which will become an eternal spring of life within her. He urges her, in fact, to ask for it, and then shows her that the gift of life also requires a way of life marked by repenting of all that is evil. This passage again affirms that Jesus is life, and that all the efforts of his ministry and the ministry of the church are about giving life. It also affirms that proclaiming life and proclaiming repentance go hand in hand. As we invite the world to the eternal life of Jesus, let's not be afraid to challenge the world to repent of all those actions that destroy life, starting with abortion. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.